Thank you. While we're waiting for it to load, we're looking at, can you flip the light in the back and it'll make it real dark in here, but you can see the slide. We're primarily working with commercial applications of char, biochar. In Missouri is a leading producer of charcoal, and the producers have come to us and said, we have a lot of fines that cannot be made into productive commercial products. We would like to dispose of that. Would you look at the efficacy of putting this material into soils as a soil enhancer? And we have been putting this into over long periods of time. It's been called biochar, terra preta, black carbon. The literature has shown that it potentially increased the CEC of soil. What we did is we did a greenhouse project where we're starting to evaluate many different kinds of charcoal. And on this particular batch, we used two soil horizons, and we had a secondary treatment where we had variable rates of charcoal was added to the pots. We put 2 kilograms of soil per pot, and we had 5 replicated pots for treatment. We used an Adtop soil series, which is basically an extremely acid ultisol. We particularly use an ultisol to see if metals would be mobilized because of the char. It's a moderately deep rhyolite sequence that was formed on, or it's in rhyolite formed from loss. And we use the A horizon. We also use the underlying EBE homogenized together. Two different pH levels of the soil gave us an additional characterization potential. We use in this one commercial charcoal. We got it from the supplier. It was crushed. We also have used many other kinds of commercial charcoal products, and there is some of the distribution after we finally divide it. Our experimental design, the charcoal amendments rates go all the way from 0 milligrams per kilogram of soil up to approximately 100 milligrams per kilogram of soil. We used a variety of plants in the greenhouse. We used corn, we used bush beans. Corn is relatively tolerant of some elements. Bush beans are not. We'll see that here in a minute. We also started treating the soil materials. We used Aquaregia. We actually analyzed for about 35 elements. Just to give you some, as we increased the rate of charcoal using Aquaregia, the calcium concentration that we were able to extract out dramatically rose. And so calcium is being contributed by this charcoal to the soil mixture. Boron, that's part of what the talk is about today. As we added this charcoal to soil, boron increased. And it increased extremely to a pretty high rate there. The A out there is the A horizon. The B is the combined more acid subsoil. We also found that it contributed sodium to the soil mix using the Aquaregia digestion. We also did water extracts just an example. One of the 30 some elements, we chose manganese. You can see that at the higher rates, manganese was actually less available, less concentrated in the water extract. This did elevate the pH from initially from a 4.2 up to about an 8. And so the manganese, we figure, is a more of a issue due to the pH of the soil reabsorbing the manganese. Chloride, on the other hand, was substantially greater in the water extract coming out of the mixture of soil and char. There's some of the plants out of the greenhouse. These are the bush beans. This one experiment we did, and you had the rates there of 0 to about 100 milligrams per kilogram. and you had the A horizon and you had the lower horizon. You can see that at the highest rates, the plants consistently failed because of the higher rate of char. We tried it again with much lower rates of char or charcoal, and we had a lot better growth, but you can see the leaves over there are a little on the higher rates. That white color around the periphery on the beans, that is quintessential or classic boron toxicity symptoms. We also looked at corn. Corn is much more tolerant of boron. We had far better growth, but you can see that there was a difference in the growth potential even with corn at the higher rate of charcoal incorporation. Boron uptake. You have milligrams of boron per kilogram of that ought to be plant tissue, sorry. That's milligrams of boron per kilogram of plant tissue. And you can see that at the higher rates of char, you had an exorbitant amount of boron uptake by the bushel beans. There we're in experiment two, where we use smaller amounts of boron or char. We had smaller amounts of boron uptake. And in the corn, corn is more tolerant. It tends to take up boron to a lesser degree, but you still had potentially toxic levels of boron in the plant tissue. Normally in corn, you normally see 20 part per million boron, not 413. What we did is we also took the plant tissue boron concentrations in milligrams of boron per kilogram of soil, and we went with the standard soil test for boron in Missouri, which is hot water extraction. You can see the regression here. That as the soil test from the charcoal amended soils got greater, the plant tissue in the plant, in this case corn, also became much greater. As I said, this was one product. We tested other products. Other products did not have boron in it. Some were intermediate. We had some products that had a little bit higher molybdenum content, which would be a beneficial component. Many of the products had higher rates of sodium. The idea that we're asking is that as people are taking charcoal, they're producing it in larger amounts. We have commercial people in Missouri producing this in many tons. We have municipalities that are starting to take materials and produce it into charcoal, all for carbon sequestration. We had a massive ice storm in Missouri. A lot of people are starting to process it in the char to put it in soils to carbon sequester, and basically also get it out of the neighborhoods. The whole idea is that what we think is that based on the type of wood products going in there, you have the specter of boron toxicity. And therefore, we recommend a routine screening for boron and sodium prior to a commercial application to make sure your commercial product is not going to cause the community an issue. And so in this case, some of the chars did have potentially toxic layers. This producer might be turning around and producing an organic boron fertilizer as a commercial product. And so that is a different product concept than he started out with. And so with that, I stand for questions, sir.
Yes, I mean, you're using a commercial charcoal briquette and...
Absolutely.
And crushing it. I mean, who knows what binders they put?
Well, we already asked him that. There were very few binders in your other products that didn't have it. What they have is they basically bring in truckloads of trees, pile them up, set them on fire, put water sprinklers on them, and then that's how they produce the commercial char that you buy, okay? You are correct about the binder, but some of these materials have huge amounts of boron in them. We also talked to people that use charcoal in potting media out in Oregon, and they report that a lot of their orchids and so forth die with certain types of wood input. And so wood will contribute boron in
process of producing this product. So all we're recommending is that people screen the product prior to using it in an agricultural or commercial application.
But Kingsford is not putting binders in their briquettes?
They do put binders in, but others have put the same binders, and we found a barn. What we're finding is that it looks like it's the kind of tree that they use to make it. Some people use a lot of pine, some people use a lot of oak. This came from a heavy oak region, and it seems like there's a product coming in that one. Could it be the binder? Well, the other people that use the same binder, we didn't find more. There's absolutely no more.
Please.
Would Kingsford or DC be producing charcoals that you found on the barn? They give you access to any of their raw materials, for example, the trees that they use to make the charcoal. Perhaps track down the source where this is coming from.
Interesting concept. We actually got the commercial product, but when any company, they have many suppliers that are producing this for them. Ask me the question one more time.
Were they willing or cooperative to let you investigate feedstocks, for example, inland feedstocks by the same entities in the char and the soils, to see whether that warrants coming from the trees or perhaps from another source?
Mm-hmm. Basically, we are primarily working with commercial producers in the bulk of char. Okay. And that is then produced into a briquette that's then shipped to be labeled by or other people.
I think your point is that we could check the raw product for boron to see if the oak trees do have high boron.
You're absolutely right on that.
Because maybe instead of having to always screen the charcoal, if you know which feedstock should be off limits because of boron problems,
then
you prevent it from going through the
correct
line to begin with.
That would be correct. But, for instance, our hometown city, Cape Girardeau, is looking at producing charcoal from trees, and they're running into the same problem that depending on what neighborhoods are in, what trees are there, that they are getting potentially high rates of boron. And so it looks like there is a kind of tree interaction that produces some of the boron, where other kinds of trees, you don't have boron. There seems to be a residue of uptake of the wood and how it's processed.
Do you find any heavy metal accumulations in any of these products?
That's an interesting question. That was our original goal. We found that virtually in the water extracts and in the aqua region, we found very little, if any, transition metal, metalloid enhancement due to the char. What we did find is because the pH is raised when you mix it with soil, some of the higher rates of char actually contributed less metal because of the pH effect causing a metal absorption, a hydrolysis reaction, those kinds of reactions. And so, but to answer your point, there were no metalloid metal that seemed to be only calcium, a little bit sodium, a little bit chloride, and in this case, a whole lot more.
What was the impact of the pH change?
It was 5. That's a high rate.
From what to what?
The 0 was 4.1 for the lower horizons. The surface horizons, like 5.5. But at the high rate of char, it raised it up to about 8.
Did you also monitor the amount of available phosphorus?
We did run phosphorus in the water extract and in the aqua region. I would imagine that as we case, there is a tremendous difference in the reactivity of phosphorus. But on the original screens with the aqua region, which is going to blow your pH elevation away because that's strong acid behavior, we didn't see any difference in phosphorus in the aqua region digestion. And the water extract.
Right, I'm not really thinking about phosphorus. I'm not really thinking about phosphorus in the biochar. I'm thinking about soil, and whether if there were lots of phosphorus in the soil, that would impact how much boron was taken out.
Okay, excellent.
That's the question. It's not a big deal, just curious.
No, I ran the Brag 1, and they were coming out about 10, which would apply a strong deficiency of phosphorus.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Thanks to all our speakers.